Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our sermon text today is the epistle lesson appointed for today. I read to you from Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Thus far the text, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, would it were that we could see every germ out there, then we'd have the freedom to move about and be safe, right? Then we'd be able to discern and touch things and not touch things as we see them. And I'm not talking about COVID-19 here, by the way. I'm talking about sin. Would it were that we could see every sin out there, then we'd have the freedom to move about and be safe. Then we'd be able to discern what to touch and what not to touch. Now, almost immediately, I'm guessing you're going to see the problem in all this. We're like those folks that flocked out to the bars in London, all those people that swarmed the beaches in Australia and who went down to Florida for spring break. We in our freedom, and in our free will, we live under the assumption that we can do as we please and that God has no right to infringe upon what it is that we do. And that brings us to that other thing. We don't necessarily buy into the fact that sin is always lethal. We assume that we're not going to die because what we're doing doesn't fall into the category of a high-risk behavior. That guy over there, he might get it because he's part of a group that's continually breaching the limits. But me, I'm not that much worried about it because I'm hanging around with a group that's actually pretty good in the grand scheme of things. I wonder what those revelers would have done if COVID-19 had a 100% mortality rate. If they would have still partied on as if they had nothing to worry about. But that's with a disease. What about sin? That's exactly what we do when we sin. We party on. It doesn't matter that it's 100% lethal. We party on. The Apostle Paul says this kind of behavior has to stop. But he doesn't say it in a legalistic way. Paul doesn't lay laws on us. Instead, he declares the gospel over us. And he offers us guidance that demonstrates a natural progression of who we are as God's children. Now, let me read that opening verse to you again. There Paul writes, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Historically, yes, we were a sinner, but that's behind us. And Paul says, here, now, is the truth of our redemption. We are light in the Lord, and we have that light to shine ahead of us, to light up all those sins that can kill us. Would it were that we could see every germ out there? Well, we can. In our newfound freedom, God's word acts like a guide. It points out the difference between his righteousness, which sustains us as children, and all sinfulness, which enslaves us again to death. Okay, so now we have discernment. It's perfect, it's recorded for us in the Bible, but it's not quite so perfect when it comes into contact with our less than perfect hands. Maybe you've seen that video on how to wash your hands. Use soap and water, work up a good lather, and scrub for a good long time, singing the happy birthday song as you take care to clean the tops and bottoms of your hands, all your fingers, and not forgetting that you have thumbs and so on. You can pretty much be assured by doing all of that, you'd rid your hands of all those germs. Note the words pretty much assured. Sin's got one up on that. You could scrub your hands to the tune of Stairway to Heaven and still be stuck with a inescapable germ. For those of you who don't know that song, Stairway to Heaven, it's by a group called Led Zeppelin. It's a rock group. It first aired in 1971. Top 40 disc jockeys would play it when they had to take a washroom break because the tune was 8 minutes and 2 seconds long. Can you imagine washing your hands for that long and still not getting rid of the germs? That's the problem with original sin. On this side of eternity, that is always going to be there. But so too is the promise of Christ. So too is the promise of Christ. We have him, and that is the cure for the germs. There's this really wonderful song in our hymnal in the Lutheran service book, hymn number 749. The refrain goes like this: "There is a balm, Balm, in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." If you have a hymnal at home, feel free to look it up. It's available online too. If you don't have a hymnal, pay special attention though to the third verse. That verse says, "Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. And if you lack for knowledge, he'll never refuse to lend." And that brings us to the next point. If Christ is willing to lend us this knowledge, we too should be willing to do so. We've been redeemed through Christ. We've been blessed with discernment. We've experienced his healing for a purpose. And that purpose is that all nations be saved to the glory of God. Now that comes down to fruitfulness. Germs can be spread, that much we know, but so too can the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't get caught up in unfruitfulness. Verse 11 of our sermon text today says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." The first part of that sentence is self-explanatory. If by the power of light that dwells in us, we know that something's sinful, we should avoid it. But there's something a little bit more subtle in what Paul's saying here too. If we choose not to open our mouths to tell somebody that their actions are sinful, we're covering up that light that's shining in us. We're hiding that city on the hill. Darken a lighthouse and you'll soon see the results. Boats unaware of the dangers that lie ahead will come to an inevitable end. That's unfruitfulness to the highest degree. If God built the lighthouse, it must shine to warn the people of impending disasters. Now, granted, the darkness of sin doesn't at all appreciate the righteousness of light. People push back when you point out their actions. They might put up with it from God secretly because they think they can get away with it. But when God actually makes the law fall on their ears, it bites. Suddenly their actions become a matter of public record. Remember David of Bathsheba? There's a good example of what I'm talking about. David got that married woman pregnant, and then in an attempt to hide his shame, he had her husband killed. That didn't bother King David at all, until God sent Nathan the prophet. Then David changed. That encounter gave David a chance to repent, and that's the point Paul's making here in this text. The light isn't just for you and me to guide our paths. It's there to speak the truth to the world and to guide their paths too. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's the message that contains both law and gospel. You're dead, but there's a promise of salvation. Please bear in mind, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God's intention is to open the eyes of the blind, that people don't live in darkness anymore, but in light as children of light. And to that end, I'll leave you with this verse from Isaiah 42. It's written there in your bulletins for you to read again if you wish. There God says, "And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground." Isaiah 42:16. Keep that verse handy and marvel at it. God's promising there to lead the blind in completely new directions, as he led you to righteousness instead of death, from rough places to level ground. In close, I'd just like to say, God keep you all safe. Walk as children of the light, and be a light. In Jesus' name, amen. At this point, I'd like to just take a moment and invite you to pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we've been facing these threats of the coronavirus in our community, in our country, and we just pray your protective hand be upon us all. Lord God, we pray for the people of Southern Canada and the people of the North as well. Their situation would be very dire if they come in contact with coronavirus, and we're just asking that that you calm their fears as well as calming our fears, Lord God. Make it possible for this virus to pass by us. And Lord God, especially help us to be neighbors to one another and to be loving to one another in the midst of this, not hoarding any supplies or shunning anybody or hiding away from them. Let us especially preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which sets people free. Where we see sin, help us to call out that sin. But where we see faithfulness, help us to encourage that faithfulness. And help us to also encourage newness of life through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray all of these petitions in his name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.